Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's episode of the Nerdcast from Project Nerd. I am your new and better host, Tyler.
Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. You are listening to the Nerdcast, but what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
I am joined today by the rest of the crew, Adam, Iggy, Aaron, and obviously myself, so say hello, team.
Hello.
New team. And better, both are say, not.
Is anyone ever, I was really hoping someone would just say hello, team, but it didn't happen.
I would have, but Aaron didn't take it straight away, so.
I teed it up really well, I feel like.
Let's try it again. I feel like I failed.
It's all right. We'll just keep rolling.
If we do it again, though, she'll probably fail still, so.
Fuck it, we'll do it live. I'm hosting for two reasons today, and that is, number one, we are, as this airs, we will be at Planet Comic Con in Kansas City, my hometown con, and everyone else will be treating my apartment as a flop house, which is okay. I love you all.
You'll be hosting for multiple reasons.
Well, hold on. The main reason he's hosting this is because if we're giving the illusion that we're airing live on Friday, we all know Tyler won't be doing anything at the convention while the rest of us are working. So that's why he's getting.
I don't even know what that means. I got this box today, and UPS left it out in the rain because it's been raining here all day. So everything's ruined.
It's a good thing everything's plastic wrapped. I've ordered from them before, but let's talk.
That's the other reason I was hosting it. I was going to have this big grand reveal, but you had to get all shitty about it. So
we'll do the grand reveal.
So here in my hand, I have a giant box of comics, and it is, as everyone was hoping, issue one of Barons.
Ooh.
So this is the actual cover.
Ah.
A comic from Project Nerd Publishing and C.W. Cook and Brian Timmons. It is
shiny.
Beautiful. I haven't unwrapped any of them yet, so I can't give you like what it looks like on the inside, but we'll do that at some point. Then we also have the alternate cover of Esme Ford. Quite good.
So yeah, that's me.
Pretty awesome.
That was Andrew Tarasov's work. That's not Aaron. Because there is a cover with Aaron.
Is there?
Oh, that's not me?
Yeah, and hopefully there's in that box.
I didn't see any of them.
Are you serious?
No, I mean, there's this one with this, whoever the fuck this is.
Oh, okay.
Kind of terrible. I don't know.
Aw, that dump rod.
That's a pretty dope cover, though. I always like virgin covers on comics to where there's no logos, no titles, no nothing, just the picture. And that's what we
Could
went
Could you not
with.
Have gotten a better picture, though, if you were going to go with the virgin cover?
So we call it virgin cover, and I'm, yeah, I see what he did.
Man. I think we need to buy you guys some ice cream or something. Y'all are salty tonight.
Speaking of ice cream, I think the biggest news this week, before we get into anything else, I have to go there, is if you were wondering, ladies and gentlemen, S'mores Oreos are back on the shelves at grocery stores everywhere. I did pick up 4 packs. I've already made it through a pack and a half. My defense, I've had them for 2 days, so a pack and a half is relatively slow this time around.
75% of the pack a day?
Yeah.
That's a lot of Oreos, dude.
They're s'mores Oreos. Go ahead, Adam.
What does that have to do with ice cream?
Yeah, that was the question.
S'mores cookies and cream ice cream? Because
at the same time.
S'mores aren't ice cream. Oreos aren't ice cream. So how did we get there from speaking of ice cream?
Although cookies and cream ice cream
is like quite possibly the best kind of ice cream.
So we picked up these s'mores Oreos. I also managed to pick up a package of new limited edition s'mores Klondike bars.
What did you do for those Klondike bars?
I can't release that information here.
I want to know.
I can't tell people.
Can we just start referring to s'more Oreos as s'moreos?
We do in this house.
Can that be okay?
That's what they're called in this house. I just wanted to make sure I got the clear title out there first. Again, a package and a half has been devoured. I will say that there was probably 4 or 5 cookies in that package that I didn't eat. I mean, so I can't claim I ate them all. The s'mores Klondike bars are pretty much all gone as well. Those are pretty delicious. And I do have s'mores Pop-Tarts, by the way, if anybody...
Did you eat any regular food for the past 2 days? Or has it just been s'more-related things?
Chocolate, marshmallow, and graham crackers?
No, I'm sure this is in addition to huge, massive quantities of meat and bacon.
Actually, no bacon in the past 2 days. But yeah, basically between May and September, like I can live off of marshmallow, graham cracker, and chocolate as long as they're all put together in some form. It could be an ice cream form, could be an Oreo form, could be in Pop-Tart form. I have all those options in my house, as well as I could just make an actual s'more.
That's what I was going to ask. When do you actually make s'mores? Or like, no, I don't.
Well,
like
I have. What do you call those? The little burners that you put under the food to keep them warm. You know, when you're
sterno.
Thank you. Sternos. Yeah, we have those. So that way I can make s'mores inside.
Okay, so moving on, let's talk about other amazing things on our podcast, because there's marshmallow and chocolate for 1 minute.
Wait,
we need to talk about something other than...
Have you shipped s'mores, have you shipped Oreos to either Adam or I?
I'm going to bring some. I'm going to bring some. They'll get there quicker. I have one package.
He's not going to bring them. He's going to
eat them on the way.
They're not making the trip, let's be honest.
I'm bringing them. I can't promise they make it all the way, but I do have one package ready to go.
Do you not have these s'moreos in your grocery stores there?
I have a little bit of self-dignity. I'm not buying.
What self-dignity?
I'm not going to the grocery store and buying s'moreos.
First of all, 4 packs at one time might have been questionable, but that's why you do self-checkout. Second of all, I had a coupon. You got to load up while you have the 50 cents off per package. And third of all, there's s'mores Oreos, guys. Did I not get this message across earlier?
I get it. I mean, you've decided that the price that your dignity is worth is 4 packets of s'moreos. It's fine. I get it.
Actually, my line
is slightly higher than that.
My dignity could go for 1 package. Just 4 was just what happened to happen this weekend.
You're a whore, and we know what your price is. It's cool. We get it.
Anything s'more related, I will bend over and put out. What are you talking about?
All right. Let's talk about other things, because there's many, many, many things to talk about, not just Planet Comic-Con, which is also super exciting. Just to get out of the way, I mean, might as well. Let's talk about the old Fantasy Movie League. How'd everyone do this week?
It was a good week this week, man.
I haven't looked.
It was a tight, tight week. Iggy, you came in second by just like that much.
See, if I don't look and I pretend like I don't care, that's when I actually perform okay.
Nope, you're like just like this. Actually, as of Sunday, until they updated the numbers, you were actually winning. But I got a little bump there on Sunday night and ended up beating you by like $600,000.
So that's it.
So I won my 5th week in a row, but Anne still has a lead on me by $2.1 million going into the final week. And Adam is in third by, what, 40? 38?
Yeah, 38. If you and Anne just don't want to set your lineup this week, that'd be super cool with me.
I don't even know if that's enough to catch us, because if we don't set our lineup, it'll just put in what we put the week before.
Yeah, Captain America.
But you don't get Captain America because you only had 1 day. It's going to go to the full weekend. So you lose Captain America and you lose – probably that's all you lose.
I'd be able to keep Jungle Book and Zootopia, so.
Right. No, so, but I mean, I feel like at least gives me a shot. I don't have a shot otherwise. I'm not beating anybody by 40 million if they set a lineup.
Yeah. And we have some big openings this coming weekend. We get Neighbors 2, which is getting surprisingly good reviews. I enjoyed the first one. Apparently the second one's quite good. Angry Birds, which for its premise will still make obscene amounts of money. And it's got a really good cast. And the one I really want to see, The Nice Guys, which I think looks hilarious. So... are we going to catch a movie while everyone's in town, or what's the dealio?
I could get down on some Neighbors 2 or some Nice Guys.
See, here's the problem. We'll commit to it, but will it actually happen? It's a convention weekend.
To be fair, Adam and I have seen a movie 2 Comic-Cons in a row in Kansas City, so.
Well, good. Well, actually, we all went to Army.
We all went to Serenity, and then the year after, Adam and Laura and I went to Chappie.
Army of Darkness.
Tyler missed that one.
I did miss that one, unfortunately.
But Why did you miss that one, Tyler?
It was good. We had fun. We saw Chappie, and I got to introduce Adam's wife to Diane Verd for the first time, and that was pretty entertaining.
She does yoga to that now, which
that's fantastic. Everything about that makes those two things together, right?
I'll be sitting there playing video games. I'm like, oh, Diane Verd's playing. Like, she's doing yoga, and I hear people like talking about, you know, really finding your inner self and
then I hear Diane Towards swearing all over the place. I'm like,
so
that is the woman I married. All right, right on.
Yeah. So, but final week of Fantasy Movie League for this season is going to come down to the final week with only slightly over $2 million separating first and second. So
go, Ann.
Hey, I have locked up though the most weekly wins for the, that's all mine. So,
hey, Aaron,
just throwing it out there.
You going to play this last week or you still going to check this one out?
Aaron, let's see. How long has it been since Aaron set a lineup?
Not, I feel like 11. Once I got past the second week and I didn't do anything, I just decided not to do anything.
She just had one Zootopia sitting on there since seven. Nope. Week.
It's not good.
Six. Nope. Week.
It's really bad.
Five. Nope. Week four. Maybe there's like all but one screen is filled and she made $20 million. So maybe that was a set week. Yes. So week four, we're now in week 13. Week four was the last time Aaron set her lineup. So go team.
That's a rough go. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Week four might have also, nope. Yes. No. Jared last set his in week six. Nope. Seven.
Jared did leave the country.
He did leave the country, but then he came back so far behind, he just didn't take part.
Yeah. At that point, he left the country though. Aaron did not leave the country.
Aaron was still, I mean, she wasn't like in it, but she was still kind of in it by week four.
I sort of left the country.
Oh, you went to Chicago at one point? Where did the three of us go that weekend? Oh, to Chicago?
She left the country in spirit.
So
yeah, that's what I did. That's what I'm talking about.
After week one, Aaron was in second place. After week two, Aaron was like second or third. Week three.
All right, we get it. Aaron sucks real bad.
You were like killing it for like 3 weeks. And then you just, you know, quit.
Yeah, because you got to quit when you're on top. That's how the standings go, right?
That's getting crazy here.
This, first of all, this isn't Seinfeld either. Like nobody on a football team or a baseball team said, well, or here you go, baseball. The Royals aren't like, hey, April's over. We finished the first 2 weeks of the season, first 3 weeks of the season. First place. We're going to call this good. We'll see you in October.
At no point have the Royals been in first place this season. It's not been that kind of season starting out. But
it was just referencing the Royals
out today. So we got a Wednesday doubleheader with the Red Sox. That should be fun. So
we can talk baseball, but we can't talk s'mores. What is this?
Okay, we talked s'mores for a long time. It's time to move on.
In fact, I'm going to title this podcast something related to s'mores.
Oh, color us surprised.
Color us s'moreo.
While we're on the subject of movies and openings, some really big trailers came out this last week because everyone had a chance to catch up on their trailers.
Ooh, please tell me more.
I know Adam's a little excited about the old Assassin's Creed movie.
I did see that trailer. That's about it.
I mean, tell me it doesn't look good. Like, convince me, walk me back from being as excited about this movie as I am to somewhere that's probably more along the line with what it's actually going to be, please.
Well, let's start with the biggest complaint anyone had about the trailer. Are you pro Kanye song or are you anti Kanye song?
I have no problem with that whatsoever. I don't like trailers that put songs that aren't going to be in the movie. Like that I have a problem with.
Did you see the recut version that someone posted with soundtracks from the game?
Oh, son of a... No, yeah, I haven't.
Like you need,
I mean, if nothing else...
But that's
like,
going to do the wrong thing. That's going to get me more excited. Yeah. I feel like I need to reel myself in because I don't want to set myself up for failure. And that's what I've had to start doing with those games even, is like, all right, come on, buddy. Come on back.
Well, I'm on board for...
It's going to be okay.
Two reasons and two reasons only. Number one, Michael Fassbender, Marion Cotillard, Jeremy Irons, Brendan Gleeson. Like, you've already got me bought in right there. Then you get the fact that they've worked really in close with Ubisoft. Like, one of the production designers is talking about how there's this room at Abstergo Industries that you'll see in the movie. Like, they won't make a point of it, but the camera may or may not pan over all these artifacts they've collected over the years. And you'll get to see, like, Altair's sword and Connor's bow and all these different weapons and pieces of armor from the series just sitting in a warehouse somewhere. And then I'm really on board with the reimagined, like, mobile Animus thing. I think that's kind of badass.
Yeah.
And it makes the bleeding effect significantly more, I guess, plausible, I guess.
Watching it, I saw that and I'm like,
man, the internet's going to tear this trailer apart because of that animus. I just knew it was going to happen, and I worried about it, and I didn't look at any of the comment sections on any of the trailers, so I was just like, I'm going to watch it. I enjoy it. Yeah, no, Tyler, we're supposed to be talking me back down. You went the wrong way there. I'm really hoping that there are, like, some little nods to different rooms throughout Abstergo. Like, there's the big room with, like, all the different animus in it from Revelations, I think it was. Yeah. And where, you know, one of your forward in time scenes you play actually as an Abstergo, or for the multiplayer, you play actually as an Abstergo agent going back and training against other agents, that kind of thing. So I'm hoping there's a big room like that. I want to see, like, an original animus room, like from the first game, where it's just like animus in the middle and then a desk and then the servers all in the back. Like, oh.
I don't think we can really blame Tyler for hyping you up at this moment. You seem to be getting yourself going pretty good there.
And whatever else happened, they finished off the trailer with a sweet fucking leap of faith off of a cathedral, and it was awesome.
The costumes lend well to like some good stuntmen doing, you know, some good parkour stuff, that because so many times they try to find a stuntman that looks close enough to the actor that I wonder if you could risk losing some of those types of skills. Well, with a hooded costume like this, you just in the trailer just saw people just running rampant off the sides of buildings and everything. And I was like, all right.
Well, and Fassbender's had his production company. I mean, he's the producer and his production company is doing the production. And he, before filming, I guess, trained for like 6 months so that he could do a lot of the stunts on his own. So they didn't have to cut to somebody else or anything like that. So we'll see what that looks like.
If you needed any other reason to love this actor more, there you go. Like, dedication.
The only thing in the trailer that I was like, I'll have to wait to see it in action to see it, is they definitely have the wrist blades that he's using are straight up almost like swords, and he's really using them to like fight and block and stab and slice, as opposed to like a little thing I stab in the base of your skull and murder you and then use a normal sword to kill you.
Well, so you murder somebody and then kill them?
Well, he's got to fight off guards. And also there definitely are scenes of him fighting multiple people at once, and they're not taking their turns coming at him one at a time, which is an improvement over the game, I feel like. Although IGN did release a little troll move against the movie, saying if you go see Assassin's Creed on opening weekend, they played the sounds, like the voices from the trailer, over footage from the newest Assassin's Creed where the people's faces, the bug where you just saw eyes and mouths with no faces. And then after two like scenes, like the screen goes blue and says Assassin's Creed needs an update. It was kind of funny.
So maybe wait 2 to 3 weeks to see it.
Theaters. Don't go on opening night. You need
tell
to
the theaters get their update.
You gotta wait for the 0 day patch to get loaded. So, but anyway, I'm excited about Assassin's Creed. We'll see what else comes of this. The release date is, have they announced a release date? December of this year, I believe. So like right before Christmas.
Yeah, right before Christmas.
But the trailer that I saw that I'm super pumped about is The Accountant.
You linked it for us, but I still haven't watched it.
Well, I don't know how to even talk about it then. It's starring everyone's favorite Mr. Ben Affleck as a accountant, basically, who has some problems, maybe a little OCD, maybe a little some autism, but there's scenes of him with guns and weapons, and it's got Anna Kendrick and J.K. Simmons and John Bernthal, and it's being directed by Gavin O'Connor, who you might know from doing, like, he did Miracle, Pride and Glory, Warrior, and Jane Got a Gun, so a little bit of everything off the wall, but I can't really explain it because you have to watch the trailer. It has this really interesting, it plays this Radiohead song in the background. It has these repetitive things to kind of tie back to him. And the trailer's super long and shows a ton of stuff. And yet you have no idea what it's about other than you get this sense of like the atmosphere. It's very Fincher-esque would be the best way I could describe it. And it looks fantastic.
We had Aaron at Ben Affleck, the rest of us with a lot of the other stuff. Fincher-esque.
Anna Kendrick and J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, Anna Kendrick definitely piqued my interest, but Fincher-esque as well, and Radiohead in the soundtrack.
And then we got another BFG from Steven Spielberg showing more of that world, which looks just, it's Disney and Roald Dahl and Steven Spielberg. I don't think you can, I think that would be tough to screw up.
Why did you say another one?
Another trailer.
Oh.
This is like the third or fourth trailer to come out, but this is the first one to show a ton of like the world, so.
Oh, I missed the first one.
Yeah, this is the third one, I think, because there was a teaser trailer that didn't really show anything, a second one that showed a little bit more than this one shows tons of stuff. So. And then this one called Hell or High Water, where Ben Foster and Chris Pine play brothers robbing banks being chased down by Jeff Bridges, which, I mean, let's get on board with that right now.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. That setup will work.
A teaser trailer for another Tom Hanks Robert Langdon movie. So they're going back to the well on that one.
Oh, which one? The Inferno, right? Yeah.
They're doing Inferno. Yeah. So
good story.
Ron Howard's back. Tom Hanks is back doing another Dan Brown book. So that's a thing.
I'm okay with that.
So it's Dan Brown.
I mean, hey, Dan, I think Dan Brown
just keeps, doing that just guy keeps making books. Yeah, he's fine.
I'll tell you what, I've read three of his books, I think. I never got around to Inferno, but I read Angels and Demons, Da Vinci Code, and Lost Symbol. Was that the next one?
Yeah, Lost Symbol.
And he's not a great writer, but goddamn can he pace a book. Like, you can't put him down. Like, he'll write a 400-page book that takes place over the course of, like, 24 hours and just one thing after another. It's fantastic. So his literature, his prose is not exactly, like, sterling, but by God, he gets you engaged. It's great airport fiction, disposable fiction. I think the first of his books I've read, I picked up on in an airport, read on a plane, and finished it. So
I did the same thing. Da Vinci Code on a flight home when I was living in California to see my parents in Florida. I was like, I got like 8 hours before I do go anywhere. Let me see what we got in the airport store. Ooh, number one bestseller. Okay, I'll give this a try. And finished it.
Anyone else see any trailers? I feel like I'm the only one who watched any of these trailers that wasn't.
I feel like I need to put you to work, Tyler, because I feel like
you're the biggest trailer whore I've ever heard.
I'm like, a giant trailer whore. Like, that's one of the first, when I get up in the morning and get on the computer, I check my news sites, I check my email, and then I go to trailers. That's the thing.
I respond to 20 Project Nerd emails and messages in the first 15 minutes of being awake.
So, but there's a lot of stuff out there. They're making a movie of the Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk book that's got a ton of people in it. Like, Steve Martin's in it. I didn't even know Steve Martin was still doing movies. Into the Forest, this independent film with what's her name? Ellen Page and Evan Rachel Wood. Looks interesting. Yoga Hosers, Kevin Smith's movie, is finally getting a wide release.
So he did the trailer. I haven't seen it yet either.
It's weird as hell.
I mean,
it's Kevin Smith.
Shocking.
It's
weird. Yeah.
And Johnny Depp's back in it playing the same character that he played in Tusk, the weird.
I never watched Tusk. Did it make it to Netflix?
I don't know. And it's one of those things I don't know if I can actually recommend it to anyone. It's something.
I feel like it's something you need to see. Like,
it's rough.
That's
it's
what I
very
hear.
Polarizing. Like, everyone is like either hates it or is like, oh, it's awesome. But no matter what happens, it's very uncomfortable. Like, super, 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 super uncomfortable. Like, how are you on like Cronenberg movies? How do you feel about body horror? Is that a thing that you're into?
I don't know if I'd say I'm into it, but
like, are you capable of watching The Fly more than once? Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis, The Fly.
Yeah, I've seen The Fly more than once.
Okay.
Not in a short period of time.
Not within a week.
That's like Aronofsky.
5 years of each other.
Aronofsky, yeah, I can put Requiem of a Dream in every.
It's not that kind of uncomfortable. Aronofsky uncomfortable is different. This is definitely Cronenberg uncomfortable.
Yeah. No, so. I mean, I've seen The Fly maybe 2-3 times.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not racist. You know, it's like one of those.
It's definitely a Cronenberg-esque kind of horror. So
I don't know.
I'm getting uncomfortable thinking about it.
It's one of those ones that like I want to see it once just because I really want to give, you know, Kevin Smith, I want to give it a try. I really give somebody their dues who's like, okay, I'm on my way out. Now I want to hit on all these genres I'd never really did before and try to do these things that I never really had the opportunity to do before and just go for it. And I got to give him credit for that. Like Red State, I didn't love it, but it was, you know, the fact that he tried something different there and there were some good performances in it and thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it had some I liked Red State. It had some
Is anybody else seeing Aaron's video? Like,
yeah, that's doing this
zoom thing. In or zoom out? I don't know.
It's very odd.
Freaked me out, man.
But I don't, I've always, I feel like I've become less of a Kevin Smith fan as time has gone on. Like, I still really like the guy. But I feel like he stayed exactly the same from day one to now. And then, like,
Don't feel her fire.
As I've gotten older and aged more, I'm just like, his shtick has worn off on me, but I still fucking love his movies. And he's just a cool dude. Like, I'd like to hang out with him.
That's the thing.
And he built that giant podcast, Smodcast Empire, and I still listen to a couple of them every now and then. But
I've never, of any podcast I've listened to, I've never cried laughing so hard as to one episode of the Smodcast to any other podcast. The Scott the Sex Astronaut one.
Oh yeah, him and Scott Mosier just shooting the shit is one of the most entertaining.
So
like them doing like Harry Potter or any of those movies, it's just fantastic.
So for those that don't know, because Adam made an expression on it, I'm sure I've talked about it before, so it'll ring a bell. It's the concept is somebody wrote them in a fan letter that said, if you could travel back in time to be with yourself, would you have a threesome with your spouse, yourself, and you? And Scott Mosier's all like, no, this is, what is wrong with you? Like, no. And Kevin Smith's like, oh, hell yeah. Like, we're in, like, if I had that kind of money, I'm spending that money. He said, though, the best part, though, is the problem where he says, but I know my wife well enough that I'm going to do this. She's going to agree to it. And I'm going to show up and I'm going to see myself standing there angry. And I'm going to be like, what's going on? And she said, okay, since I agreed to this, I'm going to need to see you two do some freaky shit first before we get in this. And then he's going to be like, all right, got to do what you got to do. So it was an hour of that. And then a few episodes later is when he introduced his mom to weed with a red velvet cake, which is great because you listen to her at the beginning of just sweet lady to by the end of the episode, she's talking about her and his dad having sex and all this other stuff. And it just completely changes her. It's pretty funny.
That's the big switch that turned in Kevin Smith is someone who never smoked weed for a long time. And then within the last 5 or 6 years became the world's biggest pothead. So that's pretty entertaining. I don't know what else is going on.
But I would go back to that because Aaron would definitely agree with you. She spoke on it a lot of times. I would say he didn't involve like a lot of directors do, but I agree with you 100%. Like the comp, like by the time you see Clerks 2, Jay and Silent Bob doesn't have that value some of his earlier ones do, but it's funny because it's the same stuff.
I don't know. I love Jay and Silent Bob.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But it's like a total payoff to his fan base. And as time has gone on, I've decided I actually like Clerks 2 more than Clerks 1.
Clerks 2 is hilarious.
Clerks 1
because it's better done.
Clerks 1 was like a watershed moment, but it hasn't aged super well, but it was so big deal for its time. But Clerks 2, like, speaks to me significantly more than Clerks 1
does. The way you describe that, I can buy that because I saw Adam's face too and I was kind of like, but when you really think of it, it's because we want to hold Clerks in that special place in our heart because like you said, it's that watershed moment. We were at the right age to where we were probably too young to have been watching it when we were watching it, you know, so all those values to it. But yeah, Clerks 2 is hilarious. I remember Adam didn't want to watch it because of he's like, it can't be a sequel to Clerks and all that. And then,
oh yeah, I was super upset about it at first.
We watched it, and he's like, oh my gosh, yeah, that was actually pretty funny.
And Rosario Dawson's so money in it.
So I'm taking it back.
She's pretty much so money in everything. Like anytime she pops up, I'm like, I'll go see that movie. It's got Rosario Dawson, and it's got to be pretty good.
And then there was Alexander, which she was the only bright spot in it.
I was totally okay with him. Like, when I saw Rosario Dawson, I was
like, man. For some reason, that scene like, wasn't so bad. I've been
here for 4.5 hours, and I was like, oh, right, I'll keep watching for
another hour. So halfway through, Rosario Dawson's going to naked wrestle him. Okay, I'm back on board now. Like, I was checked out, but I'm back in. And then it was 2 more hours.
Man, that movie
did. The problem is Alexander, I'm way more upset about it than I should be because I was so pumped about it. Like I was so pumped. Ridley Scott's my guy. And like, that was going to be the thing.
Well, that was at the time too, of what like Troy and all those other ones
it was a little bit after Troy and like,
that's what I mean. Those movies that started coming out and like, well, yeah,
it has an amazing cast and like, I'm super pumped about it. And I went and saw it on Black Friday night. So
you got out on Sunday night after it was over.
No, I got out on Saturday morning.
Oh, Saturday. Well, okay, okay.
So I worked a really, 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 really long day in retail on Black Friday, went to the theater that night, caught a midnight showing, and then 4 a.m. I walked out of that theater having to be at work in 4 hours, just being like, what the fuck was that? It was the worst decision. So like, because of the timing of when I saw it, I have a very special hate for it in my heart. And even the director's cut did improve it, because Ridley Scott's made some movies that, like, for instance, Kingdom of Heaven, horribly historically inaccurate, and the theatrical cut of it is frankly dog shit, but the director's cut, while still not a great movie, is so much better.
Yeah, I don't love that movie. A lot of people liked it too, and I just, Kingdom of Heaven was another one. I get, and that was the problem. I don't know if I ever gave the director's cut a chance though, because I think better, I hated the theatrical.
Yeah, that's the thing. The theatrical cut is so bad, but the director's cut adds a bunch of scenes back in that make some of the scenes significantly more plausible, and it helps earn some of the later scenes, like where this guy who literally just learned how to use a sword yesterday defended an entire city from a giant army, and then you get some explanation for it. You're like, oh, okay, maybe that's not as implausible as it sounded before. So,
but for Alexander, if anybody hasn't seen it, the director's cut, if you got 2.5 weeks to kill, I mean, go for it, right?
It's not untrue. It's not untrue. It's
a long movie. Like, I don't think I realized the runtime when I did first sat down to watch it. And I knew it was long. Like, for some reason, I don't know if I blocked out the runtime or I just never really paid attention. And then you get a few hours in and you're like, okay, really? Like, this is.
Are we going to leave Greece at some point in time? Yeah, I thought for sure he left Greece.
It's a long movie, basically.
It's a really long movie.
You need more than 4 packages of S'mores Oreos.
It's got so many people, though. It's got, I mean, just not, I mean, other than, what's his name?
Colin Firth?
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell. You get Val Kilmer. You mm-hmm. get,
Jared Leto.
Angelina Jolie, Jared Leto. Mm-hmm.
Rosario Dawson.
What's his name? Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
So many people. So I don't know. Probably never going to watch it again, but I saw it my one time in the theater. Yeah.
I'll be happy to catch it halfway through.
I'll watch The Fly again before I watch Alexander again there, if that answers your question from earlier.
Although I feel it's one of those movies that for a certain generation, like for us, the generation was like Wild Things. Like, I've seen Wild Things from beginning to end maybe twice, but there was one section of the tape that was quite worn out. I feel like that's what it is for Alexander.
And it's funny because you don't have to say
it out anymore, right? You could just skip right to that one chapter now.
But you don't even have to say anything because both Adam and I knew exactly what part of the movie you're talking
about. We're at a very specific age. Like, that was a cultural touchstone for us. Like, there are certain things I can
throw out. Cultural touchstone, if you want to refer to it as that, I guess.
I'm just saying, if you walk up to any male who was in any way exposed to pop culture, who is now at the ages of between, say, 30 and 35, and say things like Wild Things, Fiona Apple's Criminal music video, or things like that. Like, there's it flips a switch in the head that we all remember.
Fiona Apple's Criminal video? You guys thought that was sexy?
Yeah.
I thought it was nasty. And you guys know how it feels.
You weren't 14 years old when that video came out, obviously.
I definitely was.
What I mean, you weren't a 14-year-old boy when that movie
came out. I'm sorry, but I definitely...
In her defense, I think she had the same feelings we did as 14-year-old. So,
yeah.
But,
thank you.
I really like it, and I didn't quite understand why. Okay, first of all, whoa.
Hold on.
Whoa.
I love her music, but she's not attractive.
I didn't think she was attractive either. I did not. But that video still, I was kind of like, I'm okay with this. I'm okay with this video. I will watch her in this one.
Weird. You guys are weird.
Like, we wanted to party with Fiona Apple. We wanted to marry Lisa Loeb.
When Tyler said that,
that's what was weird about it.
You say we're weird, though. Tyler references that. Not only did Adam and I both know exactly what he's talking about, when this airs on Friday, every male between the age of 30 and 35 will go, yep, I know that music video. They will. Or, yep, I know that scene in Wild Things. Those both, no matter what you want to say, we're weird as can be. It's a true statement. It's just one of those. It was a force of nature. It was just a force of nature. None of us at that age had any control over it.
It's biological. We had no control.
There you go.
All right. Maybe if I had a penis, you're right. I just don't understand because of that.
That explains, I mean, that's an answer to many things.
I feel like that was really sexist.
It was.
I actually do too. I was like,
it came out the way I thought it would. Like, it was more like there were any other people
to talk about. He's like, I'm gonna burn Aaron right here. Well,
that's not actually. It came out.
Really. Let me just burn everyone who doesn't have a penis.
I don't know. I guess. Let's move on. Speaking of Kevin Smith, and also Iggy is probably pumped about this. Warner Brothers and DC already super.
What are you, Iggy, pumped about this? Like, I'm not
so pumped about this.
I'm not the Batman versus Superman defender, Aaron.
That's not what I was saying. I'm saying
you're
that
talking about the Harley Quinn movie.
They have a lot of faith in Suicide Squad, and they've already announced that they're making a Harley Quinn movie with Margot Robbie starring and producing.
Just because I thought she was a good fit for the character doesn't mean like I'm crazy on board with all they're doing. So I don't get your comment.
Are you super excited about a Harley Quinn standalone movie?
Well, I'm kind of waiting till Suicide Squad. Actually, when I saw the announcement, my first thought was, shouldn't we have waited till August to give this a green light? Because at the end of the day, you know, I mean, as much as it didn't continue to make money, that opening weekend for Batman vs. Superman was enough for them to say, yeah, we should green light everything.
I also wonder if this is if there's a little gamesmanship here with Marvel, like officially, unofficially saying that there will be a Black Widow movie, and DC's like, oh yeah, no, we're gonna do a Harley Quinn movie, we're gonna standalone female movie. No,
I don't know. I feel like DC on that side, as much as it's been, you need to people have been pushing and pushing Marvel to do a Black Widow movie. I feel like this was probably on the drawing board since day one because Harley Quinn's going to sell tickets. So I just mean
with the announcement.
Oh, the timing of it, yeah.
Right. Like, we're going to do it now before the movie because we have that much faith in our female characters.
If there's anything I'm fanboying on the DC side, it's the Ben Affleck directed Batman movie, which brings back Affleck and Irons, and then the standalone Wonder Woman movie, which is some of the early screens, you know, early shots have looked good, but the fact is both those movies get me away from Zack Snyder, so that's why I'm a little bit more excited about that. And to be honest, when's the last time Ben Affleck's been behind the camera and let us down? Yeah, good luck. Good luck, guys.
I don't know. I want to stay excited about the Wonder Woman movie, but over the last month and a half, DC has lost its director for both Wonder Woman and The Flash, which doesn't speak volumes about how well that studio is being run.
Yeah, but I mean,
Amazon. It's okay. They'll just get Snyder to come in to take over for him. Don't worry.
No.
I don't know.
This is a female-led movie and Snyder's on it. Wait a second. Yeah. I like Wonder Woman all, but what if it was Wonder Man? And what if he killed everybody? Violently, with laser eyes.
I understand that people have a lot invested in the history of the characters, but as an artist, I say, fuck that. I'll just make him whoever I want him to be.
It's like the equivalent of Michael Bay's comment. That the squid-looking villain on the new Ninja Turtles movie. We need him to have less arms so he looks less like an octopus. Like, oh my gosh, like the squid-looking villain? Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I think
this project?
I don't think Ant-Man's a good comparison just because Ant-Man, like before the MCU was even a thing, like Edgar Wright had been working on an Ant-Man movie for...
And like the movie still had his fingerprints all over it.
Exactly. But this is like when you have two directors in as many days back out of tentpole like blockbusters for creative differences with the studio. Like that's a red flag right there.
But wait, no. At DC and Warner Brothers, they're all about letting the directors do what they want to do. This is not like Marvel where you have to adhere to these strict rules.
Guys, I think you're losing the point. We'll wait until the standing ovation happens for the studio early premiere before the movie's ever even finished before we start making our judgment on these, okay? No, Tyler, not on board for that.
Sorry, the problem is, see, that argument would totally work pre-Batman versus Superman, but now, fuck it. Like, I was willing to stay on the line after Man of Steel. Like, they can turn the ship around, but no, I'm out.
I'm telling you.
I'm not saying it's going to be bad. I'm just saying it's not going to be great.
You could give me 30 directors on Wonder Woman. As long as it's not Zack Snyder, it's still probably going to do a little bit better.
But Zack Snyder's still in, like, all overall creative control of, like, the universe. He's got carte blanche to kind of do what he wants.
Yeah. He's steepling his fingers at somebody's table like, I don't know how I feel about it.
Like, the only one I have faith in is the Batman one, only because they've let Ben Affleck write it, direct it, and also be an executive producer on it to kind of counterbalance Zack Snyder's, you know, total and utter contempt for the character.
That's the reason for it. They're like, shit, guys, we gave Snyder too much control. How can we take back Batman? At least one character. Let's let Affleck be Batman. And since he's a director also, we'll have to let him direct that movie. And he's an Academy Award winning writer, so we might as well give him the writing credit too. Aaron, you were saying something?
Nah, you guys already answered it. It's cool.
What did we answer?
I don't know. It's cool. It's no big deal.
Yeah, and it hasn't been final yet, but there's words that, Jason Wan might be leaving Aquaman 2. Like, that's not good.
If Aquaman's anything like the 20-minute cameo he had just staring at a camera in the first movie, then I'm probably going to pass on that one. I'm like, if this is any sign of what's going to happen in the movie, it might sell out for women to have him just standing there floating in the ocean, no shirt on. But if he's just going to sit there and stare at a camera for 20 minutes, I'm kind of like, so what's going on with the Batfleck movie?
That dude's dreamy. I'd watch that movie.
You watch that movie? Speaking of that, are you guys watching Game of Thrones? I don't know if you've caught up, Adam. Or no, Adam, you have. Tyler, you?
I have not caught up. I watched the first two, but I'm okay. Not caught up. So I know that apparently last night was intense. And
it really was just a regular episode three. So when you get to your next episode, Tyler, episode three is one of those filler ones where we got to get everything caught back up. So it was a lot of, I don't feel like there was,
I heard they brought in a bunch of storylines back in.
But apparently, yeah.
Like the caption for the article, I think on IO9 or something was like, if you didn't cry at this week's Game of Thrones, you might be a White Walker. So did something emotional happen or?
No. Last week was the one that I yelled and screamed and cried.
Oh, at the last end. Week. At the very last part. We won't talk about it. This one,
it's last week's. So that's like the emotional.
It's the very last scene. Like the whole way leading up is exactly what you said. It's a bunch
you
of.
You didn't see that one, Tyler?
No, he hasn't gotten that far yet.
I just want to say one word, and it's a name. Can I say it, please?
No, don't. You're going to ruin it for him.
It's already, like, it's impossible. Like, the first couple seasons.
I shared it on my status.
That's exactly right. Like, I honestly can't leave the house or turn on an electronic device without having every episode spoiled for me minutes after it's aired. Like, we're past the point of, like, mass saturation. Like, it's become too much of a cultural zeitgeist. Like, I can go to ESPN and see a fucking recap of the episode.
That's actually true. The only thing I'll say is that we had, you know, the first few seasons, it felt like we were developing two characters really into being like the shit for the show. It felt like, and I'll leave them nameless. You can kind of pretty much assume. And I felt like we were starting to get away from it. And then we got left last season with like, well, oh shit, I guess not. And this season we're like, yep, those two just genuine badasses again, like just straight up. Don't give up. Ugh. Like they are just owning it. That's all I'm going for. Cause I don't want to give any spoilers to Tyler since he gets them elsewhere. Anyways,
I don't try to, I get it by virtue of like turning my computer on and going to like Google News or something.
That's why if I still watched The Walking Dead, if I still waited for it to pop up on Netflix, it wouldn't matter anyways. Cause if you want to talk about Game of Thrones getting spoiled, man, Walking Dead is the worst. Like that's where people just, they will type out the exact plot of what happened instead of just sharing a funny image or saying
it. In the goddamn headline is the worst part.
I feel like people don't want to spoil Game of Thrones as much because everyone wants everyone else to suffer just as much. Like, because if you tell them ahead of time, then the blow isn't going to be as bad as when you're watching it or when you're reading it. So everybody just zips it up and waits for you to watch Ned's head get chopped off and be like, boom, see, now you got to see what I watched.
Spoilers. Gosh.
Now everyone knows that.
Now Tyler knows what happens in episode 4.
Yeah, that was like episode 10, just so you know.
Of season 1.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
That spoiler like came like, I don't know.
That's like 6 years old now.
I got that spoiler. Well, that's the thing. It was 6 years. That spoiler's 6 years old now, but that book came out.
I'm just saying, read. But the rest of the country doesn't. Like, we don't read.
Fuck them. That's their fault.
If it doesn't have pictures in it, no.
Well, even my spoiler that I put up is so, so cryptic that, like, even if you went to go find what I had posted, Tyler, like, from last week, not that you would, you would only know what it meant just because of what I just talked about.
Isn't that the definition of a spoiler? Like,
Yeah, but it's cryptic. So, like, if you would have read that.
So it's a cryptic spoiler. So she's not as bad as the other people spoiling because
yeah.
She's
cryptic.
It wasn't that cryptic because
yeah, that's right. It's not.
Maybe I watched the episode on Monday and I was like, I was scrolling. I'm like, oh, Aaron's got something. She never posts. Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Exactly what I did.
I feel really bad about it.
Because I saw Aaron. I'm like, oh, Aaron's going to have something fun to say. And then, nope, that wasn't.
In her defense, I saw, what was it, on your page. You waited like a week before the after the episode one to post something and be like, can we talk about this yet? So she did do good on the first one.
Yeah, but the second one, I was mourning. I was literally crying. I was yelling and I was fake yelling, crying at the TV now because of this.
Now you know how I feel about the red wedding.
Yeah, but I already knew what was going to happen. See?
Rob Stark's the one and true king.
This whole not knowing what's going to happen thing is killing me. It's tearing me apart. I hate it. I hate it so bad. And when we have a loss of something that's so important and I lose it. I'll lose it. And so I had an outpouring on Facebook, and I know it was kind of a spoiler. I'm sorry.
I feel like, so what are we, this season and next season, and that's it, right? Is what they said? Or is it two more seasons after this?
I thought they were going to try to go 10, but I don't know.
Really? I felt like they were, I don't know, because I feel like, anything, we're back to where we were in the early seasons, where progress is happening. We're through four episodes, and this is the amount of progress that's happened in a full season the past few seasons. Like, we're getting shit done. We're like, let's get this stuff done. The writers are on it right now.
Well, we're running. I mean, they didn't keep introducing characters through those mid seasons that you thought were slow. That like, take that and add in another like.
Oh, yeah, in the book.
10 good characters that are just not there right now. And so they've run out of people to talk about, so they have to move kind of quickly because they're down to like 8 or 9 folks, really, that they're talking about anymore.
I think Erin was still sharing that she hopes that one character still makes her way back. One character that was in the book that hasn't made it to the show. You brought it up the other week.
Yeah, but you don't know who that is. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody.
I do, too, know who it is. I know, I can't think of that off the top of my head, her new name right now, but I know who she originally was. Ironheart, is that what it was, right?
Is that what it is, guys? Is it no, Ironheart?
I don't remember.
Is it? Yeah, it's we'll not. Just let them keep thinking it.
That they said Ironheart. Very clearly.
The hell, back. Do you think, like, you're going to act over there like you're better than everybody?
The producers, producers.
Tyler, I read books.
Okay, fuck off. Second of all, the producers came out pretty adamantly after the Red Wedding aired and said that that character was not going to make an appearance on the show.
Yeah, it's just too broad. Like, there's no point in bringing her back because, frick, the book's just left on a cliffhanger anyway.
Well, there is a reason, because badass Ice Queen zombies are kind of fucking cool. But
And to say there's no reason to, like, pretend like George R.R. Martin doesn't have this ridiculous, like, she's going to show back up in like 2 books and do something stupid awesome. And you're going to be like, I forgot all about that lady. That's right.
No. I haven't forgotten about it. I think about it all the time. And I thought she was going to come in last season, just like everybody else did. But
who thought that? Like, they were
a lot,
like,
of people.
They were very
literally everybody.
I'm saying that, like, the producers after the episode of the Red Wedding aired, they like came out very adamant. They said that character's not going to be a part of the show.
Tyler, producers lie. Producers lie
only on the only for The Walking Dead.
All right. Well, a bunch of idiots.
They lied
like,
a lot about Game of Thrones too, because they were like, nope, that character's gone. That character is gone. And then, did I share that picture with you guys? I know I shared it with Adam. You saw it. The one where he gets pulled over, where he gets pulled over. Did you see that, Tyler? He was on
Jon Snow. Jon Snow gets pulled over.
He was on, was it one of the late shows?
It was Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. They asked him about coming back this year, and the cop walks up to him because he was speeding and he goes, all right, we can do this one of 2 ways. I can either book you, or you can tell me if you come back next season or not. He's like, so he gave him the answer, and the cop walked away.
Concern, but every time they show more of it, I get more and more pumped. And mainly just because I really like Dominic Cooper, but I'm super pumped about it. While you guys are in town on Sunday night, we get the premiere of AMC's Preacher. And it looks just weirdly crazy awesome.
It fantastic. It looks like it's going to stay very true to the source as well.
And I know you guys were concerned, but AMC has announced that starting week 2 of the show, they will be doing a Preacher after show called Talking Preacher.
Yes.
Hosted by Chris Hardwick. So,
man, it it's an easy show and it gets viewers. Those shows do. Like the HBO jumped on board for Game of Thrones now.
I just feel like they could have came up with a better name. Like The Talking Dead was at least vaguely pun shaped, but could they have done something better than Talking Preacher?
I think very much so.
I mean, you could have. I mean, it's sitting right there.
You could have
the
said
the preacher sermon. Like, there. I mean, anything.
You could have even gone
preaching to the choir.
Right. I mean, yeah. Good grief. That is low hanging
fruit. That is our task this weekend.
Also, like
our booth to ask
Chris Hardwick. Does he ever sleep? No. Like, I think he may work harder than Ryan Seacrest.
he's invented cloning.
Oh, is that what it is?
There's like four or five Chris Hardwicks, yeah.
He listened to that Kevin Smith podcast about the time machine. He's a sex astronaut. You know, I mean, he had Chloe Dykstra. Why not, right? So you just keep going back in time until there's enough of you. And you say, okay, we'll just host all of these shows because there's enough of us. I made a Chloe Dykstra reference and she didn't even jump in.
You mean my close personal friend, Chloe Dykstra?
Yeah, Tyler's close personal friend. What am I supposed to do? Be like, I love you, Chloe Dykstra. I hope you're listening.
That's acceptable.
Yeah. She is pretty awesome.
You guys do both like her.
I mean,
she's one of the cool kids.
Yeah. Okay. Should I like send her this podcast and be like, hey, we talked about you. Hope you listen. I want to be your friend.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all. Are you going to send her some of your skin cells and eyelashes?
Maybe.
You guys do realize you guys have like, talked with her and she sent you messages or tweets, Aaron, and stuff like this, and y'all are like,
yeah, but
unobtainable personality that's over here, that's like,
it didn't happen naturally. We're not best friends yet, so.
Oh, no, there's a difference between having met and spoken with and been on panels with and sending podcasts where we randomly spoke about her and be like,
or sending eyelashes. I agree.
We're just talking about her every time she gets brought up. Like, why would I do that? Come on. Just weird, Iggy. Jeez.
Well, you did it now. I mean, so it.
Because you told me to.
No, I'm just, I call it like it is. For the reference there, I'm going to leave that good gap of silence in there because I'm pretty sure all three of us guys shrugged our shoulders and looked at Aaron at the same time. So we were all like, called it like it is. And then all in unison, it was like, it's kind of a good moment.
So how's Thieves End, Adam? I haven't had a chance to really play it this week. I've been super busy.
Haven't bought it.
You haven't bought it?
God damn it. I haven't bought it. What did I do? I did something. I've just been playing Elder Scrolls Online. I bought the wife a copy. We've been playing Elder Scrolls together.
I bought that originally. From the PC, I haven't played it since it like came out. Has it gotten better? I heard it's good on the console, like, because I bought it for PC and it wasn't great.
It's real good on the console, and they've got some DLC coming out. So they just had a Thieves Guild DLC last month, and then in June the Dark Brotherhood gets a DLC. That's really what I'm getting for is her and I are playing to build up our characters to get ready for the DLC.
Well, I have my Uncharted 4 sitting over here unopened because I haven't had a chance to play it yet. And then Overwatch comes out next weekend, and I'm super pumped about Overwatch, and we're getting really close to No Man's Sky.
So. Did you get into the beta for Overwatch?
I did not get into the beta. A buddy of mine was in, and I got to play it at his place, but I didn't get into it. And I didn't pre-order the game, so I don't get into the open beta.
I feel like we don't need to go see a movie this weekend. I feel like somebody just needs to play Uncharted 4 while the rest of us watch.
We can do that. It's fine.
I mean, like, I'm okay with this. Like, this is
games are gorgeous.
They are fun to watch. Well, let's talk about Planet Comic-Con, because that's a thing. That's happening right this second as you listen to this.
Yeah. So wrapping it up with our final thoughts, we'll make them Planet Comic-Con themed, but specifically Project Nerd and Artist Alley over at Table 1041. So Tyler did point out earlier, Barons is there. We've got it. It'll be available for sale. For those of you that support us on the Kickstarter, it's coming to you right behind that. Or if you are in Kansas City, send us a message on Kickstarter. A couple of you have already. We'll let you come pick it up at the show so you can get it right away and get it signed by your boys, Brian and C.W. Cook, and this Aaron Lay person, if you got the cosplay cover.
Do I have to send you a message? Can I just pick mine up there?
Please confirm with the message on Kickstarter so I have it. No, I'll bring your guys' stuff. I need to remember because you guys have shirts too, so let me throw those in the bins.
You don't even have to have the cosplay cover. I'll sign it.
But Aaron is also set up at booth C6. So
yeah, I'll sign
of Barons or the Prince, or I'll let you plug your stuff in a second. I'm just now on the publishing.
I'm just saying, I'll sign anybody's print. You know, if they bring somebody else's prints over, yeah, I'll sign it.
That's true. I mean, you can bring anything to Table 1041, whether it's Adam there or myself managing it, and you just ask us to sign, we'll go for it.
I'll sign it for free. You want me to sign your hand? I'll sign it.
I will sign Adam's head for you. I mean, if you want me to, right across
the road. I'll do it too. I will do that for you.
Quit trying to make this a competition.
For $0.
Anyways, Baron.
We'll do it for the fans. Weekend, Adam.
Of course, available. Tyler will be getting another box on Wednesday. So we'll pass the point when you actually hear this. Bullet Gal, graphic novel, 250 pages of noir goodness from Andres Bergen. Beautiful, beautiful new cover. I have the signs are upstairs, of course, but the artwork is phenomenal. And that'll be there. First time available to a Planet Comic Con. Literally would have had it for 2 days by the time Planet Comic Con starts. But then, of course, the titles we've had, Tobacco Stain, Mountain Goat, That Bulletproof Kid, Radiation Day, and Full Color with Brett Jones, the writer of it, sitting right next to us at booth 1039. And then, of course, the graphic novel Blue Moon, which I guess this is its first event as well, although we've sent a couple out online. So thanks to those who have bought it over at pnpublishing.storenv.com. So if you can't make it to Planet Comic Con, you can always check us out on those websites for these great titles. They all are available. Like I said, if you did support us on Kickstarter, we'll get them out. But for those of you at Planet Comic Con, Table 1041 to find that. I will say it now because it will have announced it on the site or not by now. I'm trying to get stuff for Cosplay Bingo again because I know it was a huge hit last year, Planet Comic Con. So if you do listen to us and you had fun with Cosplay Bingo, come pick up a card at the booth if we have them. If we don't have them, I'll blame it on somebody else. But we have so much going on.
If we do have them, maybe you could win some cool stuff, like a free copy of Barons.
No, I've got even other stuff, too. I've got, like, Silicon Valley on Blu-ray, Season 2. I have, Dragon Ball, the new Dragon Ball movie on Blu-ray. And then we have...
A free copy of Barons.
I have a bobblehead of a new Stormtrooper. And I need to make money on those comics.
A free copy of Blue Moon. You don't have to give out, like, a 10 of them. You can give out, you know...
I got some good prizes. I got a couple cool t-shirts.
This is a first edition, baby.
We got a Pop Vinyl t-shirt. That's pretty fun. Marvel-based. So some cool stuff. Oh, yeah.
Did you say Pop Vinyl t-shirt?
Yeah, like the Funko figures, they're like the Captain America and all the figures on the shirt. So it's like
their
theme shirts. So we got some cool prizes if we get that going. If we don't get that going, we'll figure out something to give you cool prizes. So anyways, a lot of stuff going on. Of course, our three panels. So Friday at 6 is turning your hobby into a business, where we will teach you what not to do for 4 years in order to be successful. But seriously, though, my accountant did yell at me quite a bit this year, so I do have a lot of good financial advice. Then Saturday, I will be hosting C.W. Cook, Brian Timmons, and Brett Jones over at Project Nerd Publishing Kansas City Style, 11:30 on Saturday for that panel. And then all four of us... Yeah, we'll even let Aaron join in on that panel on Sunday at 11:30, is the return of Broadcast to Your Podcast, which is a big hit at a lot of the conventions we go to. So the do's and don'ts, specifically the don'ts about podcasting.
We know all the don'ts.
Yeah, we've got those figured out. But last year, Planet Comic Con, I think more so than any other show we've done it at, turned into great networking experience, meeting a lot of other podcasters. Not only did we answer a lot of questions, there was some good advice from the audience as well. So it was kind of a good networking thing to learn from not just us, but a lot of others too. So, all right, that's my rundown for Planet Comic Con, the business side. So, Tyler, I'll let you step back in if you wanted to close us with fun stuff. Or did Erin want to plug her stuff? She's putting her hands up.
I just wanted to say, curse is sudden but inevitable betrayal. Alan Tudyk canceled because of it.
Yes.
So that's upsetting. But we're still a lot of amazing guests from Kevin Smith, Stan Lee, Jason Mewes, Sean Mayer is still going to be there. Edward James Olmos, I'm super pumped about. Just guests for days. Like the slate for celebrity guests this year is stellar.
Two versions of Boba Fett.
So just guests for days and days and days, a lot of authors, a lot of artists, a lot of comic book makers. I mean, Agent Carter's going to be there. Sulu's going to be there. And just people for, it's awesome. Draco Malfoy is going to be there. So.
Aaron's saying,
oh, Jim Butcher. Oh, hey, that's mine. Are you bringing that? I need that back.
That book, Jim Butcher. But yeah, you mentioned publishing side. So not only our brand new project or publishing, but so many of those indie publishers we've met and networked with over time that have actually helped us even get this off the ground. So big shout out to Big Dog Inc., Devil's Due, you know, both being there, as well as, you know, a lot of other fun stuff too. So some fun creators. And our boy, Aunt Lucha. I better bring money.
Yeah. Josh Blaylock from Devil's Due is going to be there. The guys from Big Dog, like, just guests for days.
I feel like anybody that's done anything with Devil's Due is going to be there. It seemed like they announced.
That's awesome. Because the last couple times we've seen them, it's a different team every time. But, like, Josh is going to be there and all the guys. So
no, you got every creator that's released a book is there. And they're sponsoring the Drink It Draw. So.
Are they really?
Yeah, on Thursday night at the Draft House.
Upstairs again? Is Aaron going to photobomb some things? And
I sure hope so. I hope I can Draco Malfoy bomb.
Are we going to get drunk enough to actually go to 6 a.m. jazz this time around?
His name's Tom Felton.
I'm so going to go to bed at like 11 o'clock and be good this time.
We can. So any more final thoughts before we roll up out of this?
I would like to final thought that I'm going to get Draco Malfoy to come over to my booth and have me sign Adam's head. I don't know.
I second
what does that even mean?
You should probably know that his name is Tom Felton. He's like the nicest person in the history of the world.
I'm sure he is. Harry
Potter stuff and just takes nothing but crap from people, I think, all the time. But he's,
like, he deserves sure. to I mean, watch Adam. Fair,
he was also kind of a giant dick in the Apes reboot.
So it's totally worth every you know, every time somebody is
this is redemption. This is redemption. He watches Adam get his head signed for no reason. What we're even talking about with him makes no sense at all. But for some reason, it is sweet, sweet redemption for him. That's what we're going to sell it to him as. I'm going to help you, Aaron. I'm going to help this happen.
I just want to
help him stand there while she signs Adam's head.
You listed all those celebrities, and I was like, I just got all super excited about Draco Malfoy, and I want to look at him from a distance because I'm not going to go up and pay someone $60 for a picture of them.
You can go talk to him without
paying. Tom Felton.
Maybe not.
His name is Tom Felton.
Maybe you can't. It depends on what the rules are.
His name is Draco.
Tom Felton. I prefer Draco. And so I'm going to go up to him and say, I'm going to call you Draco, okay?
I'm sure he's never heard that before.
You have a Project Nerd badge, so like con rules really don't apply to you unless you're at Denver Comic Con. Then they really apply to you.
Then they, yep.
All right, Tyler, are you closing us? It's per Aaron's instructions. Who's closing us, Aaron? Who's supposed to?
I think that Adam should close unless Tyler really wants to close.
I'm indifferent to whatever we decide to do.
I think Tyler should close because Adam looks like he doesn't want to close.
So
that's way too much pressure. You guys can't just put me on the spot like that. Like, I need to know in advance. Come on.
You just gotta take turns, man. All you have to do is remember the one line. You just gotta close with the one line.
Unless you are listening to this way too late, we are now at Project Nerd, where you should also be. Unless you waited till like Monday to listen to this, which is
you meant Planet Comic Con.
What did I say?
Project Nerd.
I was like, I'm always at
Project Nerd first.
We're at Planet Comic Con in Kansas City, downtown. It's fantastic.
Bartle Hall.
Time at Bartle Hall. We're having so much fun. You should be here.
We do. We have a blast at that show every year.
So much fun. And Kansas City's cool. You should be eating barbecue and at Planet Comic Con.
That'll be happening too.
Anyway, that's it. So next time, same nerd channel, same nerd place. This has been, what is it? Is it not right? You're shaking your head.
Same nerd time, same nerd channel.
I don't like that. That's
okay, see, he's like,
just bad copy.
I didn't say it wrong. Yours just sucks.
Same nerd time, same nerd channel. We will see you next week. Post the awesomeness that is Planet Comic Con. Catch y'all later.
Bye, buddy. If you're going to a Comic Con, make sure to take your airborne.